Welcome to the Once Upon an Island podcast. I'm your host, Wesley, and of course, I'm joined by my co-host,
Mary.
And Mary is responsible for what happened this week. She voted out Lindsay. Everyone boo her. Boo.
I laughed pretty hard when Lindsay got voted out. But I was obviously not responsible, as that's impossible.
Shame. Shame on you, Mary. How dare you get rid of my number one winner pick?
Yeah, not shame on Wesley for picking her as the winner pick.
But how am I responsible? I am not to be held responsible for my winner picks unless I'm right. Shame. This is like Voce point two. When I put Voce in my list and then he got voted out the very next episode. Except Lindsay made it more episodes. So welcome to another depressing episode. Last week we had fun. We were snarky. We were telling jokes. This week, I only want everyone to listen to sad music. That's the next 6 days till the next episode. I just want sad music. Your playlist can include Hello Darkness, My Old Friend, which I know is not the title of the song, but that's the only way I reference it anymore. It's a Mad World. Those are the only two songs I allow. And It's Been a While by Stained. Those are your three approved songs. If you listen to anything else, you're wrong. Do not listen to anything happy.
The sun will come up tomorrow.
No, wrong song.
Back your bottom dollar.
Stop
back
it.
Tomorrow.
We're going to get copyrighted.
That's what I'm going to sing.
We're going to get copyrighted because you sound too good.
Too bad.
Too bad. All right. Well, anyways, here we are.
You sound like Cody at the beginning of the episode.
Just, you know, why? Why do they do these things to me? A couple of things I want to talk about right out the gate, because this just came out today. Jeff Probst was inquired by Dalton Ross, notorious Survivor article maker. That's the word for it. He does interviews with Jeff every week, and he asked Jeff about doing a crossover between U.S. Survivor and international. And Jeff's like, well, you know, I've thought about it, but I just don't know how we do it. And like, what do you mean? Just put them on a season and just play Survivor.
Yeah.
But my proposed idea would be U.S. versus Australia versus South Africa. Since all three of those are English speaking seasons that are popular, you do a 7-man U.S. tribe, a 7-man Australian tribe, and a 7-man South African tribe. It would be great if all three tribes are all winners. That would be like international winners at war. I don't know what they would call it, but I think that would be very doable. I don't know. I don't know how they all speak English.
Maybe it's the logistics of like the prize money or something.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I understand. I understand there. If it's logistics in that sense, sure. But if it's the logistics of, I don't know how we're going to get a bunch of people speaking English on a season of Together Play Survivor. Like, I'm pretty sure people in South Africa and Australian Survivor would be thrilled to be on the OG Survivor, US Survivor. So, and yes, I know Expedition Robinson came first, but that's not Survivor. Okay.
I would hope it would be longer than 29 days. They would get on.
It's going to be 26 days. Yeah.
It's only 26 days?
26 days.
What?
Australian Survivor is used doing like twice the length. So, anyways, that's my proposal. For anyone wondering why there's no footage, I used to do footage in the podcast of the episode, but CBS randomly, and I do mean randomly, will manually copyright the video like a day after it releases for less than 4-second clips. And it got to the point where it's just like, we lose so much money on that when that happens, because like all the money then goes to CBS. And even though all the work's done, it's already been released, people already listened. So long story short, I can still use pictures, and I have stock footage of islands and stuff, but the actual footage from the show on the podcast, just it's not something I can do and still make money doing it. So just let you know why it's been replaced. That's why it is. I got to mention the Amanda Kimmel of Survivor China, Micronesia, and Heroes versus Villains fame. Her first story video just went on Patreon along with Island to the Island Secrets and jaw-dropping 5 moments in Survivor history that are jaw-dropping. I forgot the exact title, but
you forgot the title.
Volume 3. It goes up on Patreon on Friday. So if you want to support the channel financially to keep us going, I'd greatly appreciate it, because the copywriters who manually copyright the podcast don't want us to keep going. We're being, what's it called? We're oppressed. Being censored. We're being oppressed. They're censoring the podcast. No, they're not. They are copywriting, but they're not censoring. All right. So anyways, let's get in the episode. Gabler puts palm fronds on people. It's like the first thing we see.
There's a Vessi thing. The very first thing is Cody talking about how they get back from Tribal, and he feels like his girlfriend broke up with him, and the pizza guy didn't come deliver his pizza, and there was something else, but I forgot.
I didn't get the third thing either. I know Neko was his girlfriend, the pizza guy didn't show up, and I didn't catch the third thing. I think it was about beer, but don't quote me on that one. That's just me thinking it's Cody. Right. Yeah.
And Jesse and Dwight are friends. But again, that was like briefly, like they're sitting next to each other back at Tribal, and Jesse says something about we're such a mess. And that's all you get. And I'm like, okay, so yep. We're all good. Everything's good. Bessie.
I was blown away when we had a scene with Bessie, Baca, and then we went to the reward challenge. It was like, when are we going to meet Coco? Like, we don't even know who's on the tribe, I feel like. So we thankfully got some Coco content this episode, only because they went to Tribal. If they didn't go to Tribal, I wonder if they still would not have shown Coco. They're just like, yeah, whatever. Like, who cares about the Blue Tribe? So
I will say I had a note after this whole Gabler palm tree fiasco.
Yes,
like, fiasco. How can you not understand that, number one, a palm tree isn't going to help, and number two, you're just going to wake the person up.
Yeah, like, do that before they go to sleep.
I know he's smart. I just, like, I don't understand.
He's book smart, not street smart.
I guess.
Because he's a doctor. So he has to be book smart, right? Like, anyways. That's factual.
Yeah, well, yeah, factually he has
so
to
he's,
be.
But he's not street smart. He's not common sense smart.
It's just social. He has no social.
Yeah, social smarts.
Intelligence. There we go. Limited. He has limited on his social intelligence.
From what we can see in this very limited of what we see of Gabler, of course.
He has very high.
Yeah.
Mental intelligence.
What I will say is Ellie getting so mad at him is only counterproductive to her trying to trap Gabler with not playing his idol.
Yeah. And we are all watching this from an outsider's perspective. We're not there on the beach.
But her fighting with him.
That we're not there. We're not experiencing the hunger, the tiredness, the annoyance level.
Sure.
You know, so like, I'm not judging too harshly, but sure, obviously it doesn't help anyone in their game to be antagonistic toward each other, obviously.
Yeah.
But here, I said all that to say.
Okay.
I had one note, and this is going to tie into my winner analysis later.
Oh, brother.
But Gabler is...
There are no winners anymore.
Gabler is quoted saying about Ellie, if we get too far with her, we will all regret it. So, just a note. Just a hint.
Let's cut out the winner analysis portion of the podcast.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There's no need to talk about it anymore.
No need to talk about that.
No.
Embarrassing subject.
How dare you even say it's embarrassing? It's just like, I feel like we've all elevated as people to the point where we don't need to analyze the
edit.
Why
put labels on things?
Yeah. Why put labels on who's going to win? Like, that's unnecessary. And anyone who does that or has done that in the past is dead to me. And I don't consider them friends. So keep that in mind.
That's people. Gonna take a while for your therapist to untangle.
I'll get Ellie. Wait, is Ellie a therapist?
Yes, she's.
Yeah, her. I'll get her and Tori. And is Angelina a therapist?
I don't know. Why are you asking me?
Because I feel like they all kind of fit the same mold. They're like the A type of female A types.
Are you putting labels on people now?
That's for the therapist to untangle, as you said. All right. So, yeah. So the reward challenge is for fish and to steal stuff. It was, he said to steal one thing, but the way everyone's negotiating, like, okay, I guess you can give away more things, which I guess we'll get into more when Cody goes and visits Coco.
Mm-hmm.
But Jeff specifically says it's for fish and to steal one item, anything but Flint.
Right. And I do think he said one reward item. So he said you could get their fishing gear, which is obviously multiple things.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you're not limited just to fishing hook.
Right.
Yeah. No, I got that.
But you couldn't get like multiple reward items. Sure. I don't remember what people all had, but anyways.
So can you explain what this reward challenge entails?
Yeah. So there was these large platforms that had sandbags on top of them, or blocks on top of them, excuse me. And they had to use sandbags to knock over the blocks. Then they had to, one person had to grab two blocks and walk on them across the sand. So I was just remembering Jeff saying, like, the floor is lava, although he didn't say that, but something basically to that effect. Yeah. Which I thought was, and you said this was new. I mean, they've done something similar, but we haven't really
seen barrels.
Right. We haven't really seen them walk on blocks. So that was interesting. It really wasn't as difficult as it sounds. It seems like it took a second to get the feel of it, I guess.
Because this past summer we saw Worlds Apart and one tribe like did the barrels the normal way where you move them one at a time and a whole tribe moves on them. And then the air tribe, I think it was Mike specifically, was like, what if I like walk on the barrels like we're in a cartoon? But it didn't work.
Yes. Yeah. Like a rolling on
walking on the barrel as it's rolling, like in a cartoon or something.
Anyways, yeah. Once that one person gets across on the blocks, they have to land sandbags on these hanging discs. Like, I think there was three of them. And that was the challenge.
Yep. And so, long story short, Vessi wins.
Yeah.
Basically. I mean,
they were in the lead the whole time, and yeah. I was very proud of them. I was cheering them on the whole time, and I'm glad they finally won something.
Cody killed it on the floor's lava challenge.
Well, and also on the blocks. Like, he just right out of the gate just knocked all of the blocks over. I want to say maybe like six throws. I mean, again, that could be editing or whatever, but it was really quickly. And so he just sped through that first part while it took the other tribes a lot longer to get the blocks knocked over. Yeah.
So then, Jeff explains the rule. You can steal anything except for Flint. And then everybody leaves and Vessi's like, can we trade our reward for another reward? And Jeff's like, of course, as always, I know he doesn't say as always, but it's like presented as always, you can get any previous reward and trade your current reward in. And I'm like, well, was this a new rule? When was this established? Yeah. What? So you're telling me in the future, and this is hypothetical, that it's under the assumption you didn't win the previous whatever the reward was, because I assume you can't every week just trade your reward in for fishing gear. Hypothetically,
right?
You can't just get like 20 sets of fishing gear. I don't know why you'd want all that. That'd be a tribe of Ruperts would want that,
right?
But anyone else wouldn't. But you know what I'm saying? So really. What if you don't like your reward and you're like, actually, Jeff, the reward you offered blows and I want the stakes that you offered the tribe last week. That's a new rule, apparently. Jeff said did not put any restrictions on this.
Mm-hmm.
That opens the floodgates. I don't know to what, but to something.
Yeah, it seems definitely like something that could be taken advantage of.
Yes.
And they're going to change again later anyways. I don't know. It was very vague.
Maybe it's always been available. Nobody's just really inquired. Like, hey, actually, I like the reward you offered 3 episodes ago. Can I get that?
But once again, this is like new Jeff. Of course this is available.
Is this only the tribal rewards or can you do it during an individual? What if Jeff's like, everyone today, if your team wins, you get peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. They're like, actually, Jeff, I really like the reward we got to go on a yacht.
Yeah, exactly.
I liked when they got to do that. Can we do that one? I don't like the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, Jeff. I'm not a big fan. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, what are the restrictions? And yeah. I know we haven't done a yacht in the current, in like new seasons, but I think you get the point.
Right.
Okay.
It was strange.
So I wonder what the restrictions are in this rule. That's a question Dalton
and
Ross should
ask. I also thought that if they were trading reward, they wouldn't get to go steal. Like, okay, so we want the fruit and whatever. I know. I understand that it didn't happen. Obviously, I watched the episode. But I'm just saying when it first came up, I'm like, that's cool. They could trade. I thought it was like the whole thing. I thought it was like the package deal. But no, they only traded the fish for fruit.
Oh, could they have traded the stealing for another item?
That's what I'm wondering.
Instead of stealing and annoying another tribe, Jeff, can we trade that for an item from a previous reward as well? I mean, to be fair, we
for
are
fishing
only
gear?
In, what are we in episode 4?
Yeah.
So how many rewards have there been that they can steal or not steal, you know? But yeah, instead of like going over to another tribe and stealing the fishing gear, can we just trade our stealing for the fishing gear?
I don't know. It was just kind of confusing. I wish they would have just stuck with the reward that they had. I don't know. But.
Well, so understandably, they didn't want the fish because they couldn't make fire and the fish are just going to rot. Because they didn't even know if they're going to win immunity. Because if they didn't win immunity, they didn't have Flint and they couldn't steal Flint.
Oh, I know.
So the fish were just going to, like, they're not eating sushi or sashimi, as somebody said.
So, I understand.
Yeah. They trade for fruit. And I believe, was it fishing gear as well? No, it was fruit and something.
No, they stole fishing gear. What was it?
They didn't trade. They traded the fish for fruit and something.
Yes, it was fruit and something.
And then we go back to the camps and basically everyone's like, I mean, Baka and Coco both are like, yeah, we should steal from Baka. Like, Baka's the tribe to steal from. They got the bigger reward. They got the bigger versions of everything. But Cody's like, I want to go for the jugular. So let's go to Coco. And the
Get
rest of the
machete.
Red tribe's like, yeah, don't take the machete, please. And he's like, we should take the machete. But then he goes over there and acts like it was just playing all along to say, like, he's like Angelina-ing this thing, except he's actually successful.
No, he's way better.
Well, I'm saying just like his presentation of, like the whole time you've been presenting, he wants the machete. But then all of a sudden, it's like when they say, well, can we offer something else instead of the machete? It's like, I guess they're Angelina because they done goofed up. They gave a bunch of stuff away that they didn't have. They only had to give away one thing.
Right.
But I guess the machete is too valuable. So they did. I think Baca was the one who experimented with, can we do the flint with our saw? And it didn't work.
Yeah.
That was Sammy, I believe, trying that. So
I did. I will say I really liked the editing on that part when it kind of cuts back and forth between each of the tribes and Cody saying, well, what if we get the machete? Cut to Coco. What if they take our machete? You know, it was really good editing. That section was fun.
Yes. The storytelling this season has taken a step up from, well, a massive step up from 41, which is, I think, almost anyone could have done, but a step up from 42 as well. So good job, production or storytellers or producers or editors, whoever made the decisions on these things. So basically, though, Cody does go there, as we said, and gets he gets food and fishing gear.
He got fishing gear, limes, and some sort of root.
Yeah, the root I was confused by. I was like, that looks unappealing. But I guess if you haven't eaten any food in a week.
Well, it's like a massive potato. They said you boil it and mash it up.
Oh. Oh, is this Lord of the Rings? You just boil it. How's it go, Mary? You know this.
Taters.
Yeah.
Boil them, mash them, put them in a stew.
Mary started smiling, so. Lord of the Rings is her favorite. Okay, so. Oh, and Mary, I want to say preseason, your hype for Rings of Power was in the negatives. With the finale coming up this week, what is your hype level at now?
I'm at about like a 4.
Shut up. You were 4. You were like, Wesley, the episode came out. We got to watch it today. That is not a 4 out of 10.
At the first couple, it's gone down a little bit. You've been sleeping through the last two. So.
Well, I'm not. I mean, it's like, it's,
I know.
I'm bored, but I'm glad that you enjoy it. So
I'm still enjoying it. It's still way better than I thought.
Yeah.
But.
Mary had negative hype, so. Anyways, random, but please let us know what you think of Rings of Power, because I meant to bring it up in a previous podcast and I kept forgetting, so. All right, So
you got fishing gear, limes, and room.
And that's really it before the immunity challenge, unless you have something else.
Well, I just had that we hear from Carla about how she's not happy about the trade and how she feels like they did not do a good job of trading.
I do like that. I would rather have something like this where it's this to me is way more social, this stealing versus another summit. I can't believe it looked like next time on Survivor, we're getting another summit. Like, just throw me off a cliff. Why don't you? It would hurt less. That's an exaggeration in case you're wondering, but I'm so tired of stupid summits. I don't care what the location is. Stop doing them. They're not interesting. As I said, if you're going to do it, mix it up. Put 3 people from the same tribe going. Or anything. Heck, I feel like the summit, actually, in the post-merge, which I think they have done, at this point, would be more interesting. I don't even know if they've done it in the post-merge. Because then it's like 3 people are all competing against each other. Like, directly. Not, oh, we're on different tribes, therefore it doesn't...
Yeah.
No, like, directly competing. That would be more interesting at this point than another summit. So, yes, the stealing was... I think the first time they'd done stealing an item was in Pearl Islands when Sandra came over and took the tarp. And the whole tribe was, like, devastated when she took it, but she basically flipped them the bird without flipping them the bird. So, yeah. When you can do Pearl Islands. Let's kidnap a member from the other tribe. We haven't done that one in a while.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I mean, they've done that in our seasons. They did it in China. They did it in Samoa, I believe. So, good seasons as well.
Yeah, just don't ask somebody to leave their tribe and go to a different tribe. Never works out.
Mutiny was interesting when it happened.
It is interesting. It just never works out for the players.
So. I just don't think that they're going to. I think that even if they tried it again, they wouldn't show it because it didn't work. So, all right. So can you explain the immunity challenge?
So immunity, there were like 3 standing tables of sandbags, and you had to push all the sandbags over and find a key. And then unlock some puzzle pieces, huge puzzle pieces, like really large.
Yeah, there's only 4 of them, though, but they're so massive.
And drag them underneath the net. Then you make a square.
I think they're probably 5 feet tall when you combine them all into a square from how they look next to people. But they're on a platform.
They were on a platform.
They're probably 5 feet tall.
And then once you make the square, you have to move it up a cargo net obstacle and then make it into a triangle. So I really liked the two-edged aspect of the puzzle this time. I thought that was cool. Have they done that before and I just forgot, or?
I don't ever remember them doing puzzles with where they had to put, but they took the puzzle and made two different things out of it. No, that's new. They've done the puzzle where they've made it to a triangle before. The square part is the new part, but it only being four pieces is probably better. So we're not spending an hour and a half on them trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it did make for a close race we saw. I really liked when Vessi helped Baka. And it's not because I care about Vessi or Baka. I really like when people get mad at each other and draw bad blood over gameplay, not over race, not over like bully. Like, I don't want none of that crap. I don't want bullying. I don't want racial issues. I don't want, stuff like that is just like, ugh to the game. I want people to be mad at each other because of gameplay. And in this case, people are going to be mad at each other over gameplay. You know, Cody poked the bear a little bit when he came over to Coco instead of Baka, and everyone knew Coco was the wrong choice. But here we've really poked the bear by directly helping our tribe win. And James the whole time's like, what the heck are they doing?
Yeah.
You know, it reminds me of Chris Underwood helping Julia in Edge of Extinction to, I believe, win a challenge. And Rick Devin's like, what is he doing? I thought we were working together. It's like, yes, good.
Drama.
This is the drama, but it's the good drama. It's the drama that isn't like, there's no bad blood, you know? It's bad blood in the game, but it's not bad blood, like, negative.
It's not over real issues in life. Well, that matter. It's not.
You can't, yeah, because seasons where, like, that stuff happens, you're, like, less likely to want to watch it again, because you're like, do I want to go through this again?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when it's just, this is fun. I want people to be mad at each other over this stuff. This is
just
fun.
Just a game.
Yeah.
See, that, and I understand your opinion, but to me, I'm like, it's just a game, so why get mad about it? I understand it makes good TV or whatever, but...
Well, I'd be upset, too, if I had never been to Tribal and somebody's basically... two tribes are conspiring against me to go to Tribal.
No, it just makes sense. I mean, well, sure, yeah. I might be like, man, I can't believe that, but also I can put myself in their shoes and understand I'm the biggest threat, so obviously they're going to go after me. I don't know. I just... Like,
it can make sense and you cannot like it.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying I would like it. I'm not saying, oh, goody, I get to go to Tribal. Yay for me. But I'm also I'm just saying, I can't believe that they did that to us. And no, I don't feel like anyone was reacting that badly. I feel like you're almost hoping for more drama than there was.
Yes. No, I want more.
Yeah, I know. And I'm saying in real life, I hate stuff like that. I hate drama.
This isn't real life. This is Survivor.
I know, but it's real life to them and they're going through it. And if I was on the island, I'd be like, okay, guys, I would have done the same thing. You would have done the same thing. Just chill out. It's just a game. Move on.
That's what winners say. Okay. I'm here.
Good.
Yeah. We don't do winner analysis
anymore.
Winners
don't get paranoid either.
Hey,
right?
You know what? You watch your mouth.
Tony.
Watch your mouth. Vessi wins and they help Baka. And I wrote down, finally Coco loses, because in my feeble mind, I thought, don't even laugh. In my feeble mind, I thought that finally we're going to see Lindsay take over and get some airtime. And boy, she got airtime.
She got airtime.
She got to talk when they lost. And I was like, and I'm like, these editors are screwing with me. I don't know. And I don't want to sound like, oh, you know, I just think more like they mix it up, to be fair. It's not like every season's the same, but they had done the same things for so many seasons in a row. Where it's like, these are all the telltale signs of who a winner is, that they put the telltale signs on Lindsay and then
just
to
lead
watch her
Wesley
go.
Astray.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying just in general to fool us as an audience, because no, there is not a consensus winner pick right now. People were spoiled on 40. I remember people would like comment the whole boot list for 42 on our podcast and I had to like delete them. I mean, I didn't even know if they were the correct ones half the time. But they would always start off like 18th Jackson, 17th Zach. And I was like, delete. I was like, oh, you need to read the rest of us. No, this is, you're trying to spoil the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So thankfully, nothing like that this season. They've been keeping under wraps. And I hope if we end the season with me being surprised, like if Cody won, that would be really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like that would be really fun. I'd be surprised as well. Cause I remember first episode, I was like 0% chance this guy wins, you know, watch me eat my words. But, yeah, so we hear from Lindsay when they lose, and I thought that's a good sign. Of course, what did I know? Well, we see Gio is annoying Cassidy over slicing.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, Wesley Cassidy's going.
Yeah, I did. I thought Cassidy was going. I didn't even know who she was until this episode because, well, honestly, we don't get I mean, I know who they were. I've looked at the cast, but we never get any time with Blue. And when she showed up first, she had a confessional talking about them coming in stealing one of their rewards. And I was like, who is this? Okay, this is Cassidy. And then we hear from her again about something. I'm like, uh-oh, she's going to go. And that was like my first thought was, this girl's going to go. So when Blue lost, I was like, yeah, my predictions came true. Cassidy's going to go. And that's when I told you as soon as Blue lost, I was like, just so you know, I'm putting Cassidy down as going tonight. And you're like, no, it's going to be Gio.
Or Ryan. I said, or Ryan.
Or Ryan. You said Gio or Ryan.
I was very confident. I'm telling you, every week this season, I've been confident on something happening.
As soon as they lost and it cut to Lindsay, you're like, we're doing fist pumps in the air.
Stop Lindsay. Telling everybody.
Sorry. It's just so funny. Anyways, yeah, I did think Cassidy was going. I thought that Lindsay was going to get paranoid and flip over to go with Gio and Ryan for some reason. But no, we were both wrong and Lindsay ended up going.
I got to tell you, not jump ahead too much, but we're jumping ahead a lot. The actual breakdown, because we'll talk about this as we talk about what happens at camp, but the breakdown for voting goes Cassidy, James, Carla, and Ryan all vote Lindsay. Gio votes for Cassidy. Lindsay votes for Gio.
Mm-hmm.
So what the heck? Why? So Ryan was in on the vote.
Ryan was in on it too.
Gio was not in on it.
Yeah. Because, well, if you notice, Lindsay, was it Lindsay that was talking to Ryan?
Well, Lindsay Carla. Said that like.
Carla.
Yeah.
Sorry. Carla was campaigning against Lindsay. She's talking to Ryan. She was talking to Cassidy. She was talking to James about it, obviously. Mm-hmm. And that's all she needs. And that's who voted. But she doesn't talk to Gio. Gio doesn't talk to her. Gio only talks to Ryan, I think.
This just tells me that Gio right now is on the outs because he wasn't even in on the obvious Lindsay vote.
Which is why he was so surprised.
With how paranoid she was, I'm surprised she didn't play the shot in the dark if she was really that paranoid.
Because she decided to trust her alliance. Like,
yeah, she decided too late, I guess.
She decided too late.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you when it was happening, I was like, this is not good for Lindsay. You can't be this paranoid. And then you're like, well, yeah, this winner did it and this winner did it, whatever. But it's just... it's so early in the game, and I say that this is day 9 of 26, so I guess it's not, but it still feels so early in the game to be this paranoid about stuff. Like, you just have to say, okay, this is what we're going to do, this is the plan, okay, that's the plan, because it paints such a massive target on your back when you do it. And I felt so bad for her when she did it, because I was excited to watch her. I would hope that you were right and that she actually did win. But
I want to mention too that in an ad that took place during the episode, that Jeff said Survivor fan while he was promoting The Real Love Boat, which, by the way, I want to very shortly point this out because I ranted on it last week. The Real Love Boat should not be in between Survivor Amazing Race. It should be afterwards. I think we both agree on that.
Yes.
And I told you this earlier, but if you look at the TV ratings, people watch Survivor, people turned off their TV or switched channels, and then Amazing Race came on and they came back.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why even put it in between? I hope they fix the schedule and flip the two. Anyways, just want to throw that out there. Because during the ad for The Real Love Boat, Jeff actually said, tonight's Survivor fans, stay tuned. Tonight's Tribal Council is going to be like brutal or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
So
let me tell you.
Well, I mean, brutal in terms of like, was anyone really expecting Lindsay tonight? I wasn't. I was expecting, once Coco lost, I thought it was Gio or Ryan. Mm-hmm. You didn't think it was Lindsay. You thought it was Cassidy. I don't know if brutal is the right word, but it's a surprise. It's a blindside.
Mm-hmm.
Brutal would have been like, you know, Lindsay got stabbed on her way out. That would have been brutal. Like, literally.
Oh, my
stabbed.
Goodness. Yeah, I got it.
Okay. Like, with a knife. Okay, so let me explain how stabbing works.
So I was impressed, I guess, with Carla. Honestly, no, I wasn't. I'm just saying,
I'm not impressed.
I don't like that she immediately turned on Lindsay just because she got paranoid. So I'm not impressed by that. I guess what I'm saying is I am impressed that once she got an idea to do something, get out Lindsay, she carried the plan out and she was very forceful in doing it, but not in a like aggressive way. Just like, okay, I think this is what we need to do. Let me go talk to people. Okay, it's done. And I admire that in the player, that she has that social clout. She has that, it's like confidence. She's confident in what she wants to do, and she expresses that to her teammates, and they kind of latch onto that. Versus Lindsay, who's not at all confident, obviously, just today, and loses. And that confidence is so important, I think, sometimes in especially these early days pre-merge, you don't want to seem cocky, but at the same time, it really helps your alliance to trust in you when you seem confident.
Hmm. All I know is how after my Marianne prediction in episode one, oh, how the tables turn. I feel it's crazy. It's like these odd, it's really the odd number seasons that throw me off. The even numbers I've nailed. That's not true. Edge of Extinction was even numbered, but we don't count that. It's before the channel started. So I'm just,
you're approximately,
I'm 50%, really.
Yeah.
It really, when it hits the merge, that's when the rubber hits the road. Cause then when you see how people, you see the true breakdown of who's important and who's not.
Yeah.
Because right now with these, with it really depending on who wins immunity is where we get a lot of this content from. So once the merge, for those who have never listened to previous seasons podcasts, welcome. But yeah, when the merge hits, that's when we're really going to get our good analysis of who's going to win, because we'll truly see who's important, who's under the radar because they want to be, who's under the radar because they're just not important, stuff like that. So anyways, but we're not doing winter analysis anymore, so don't even look forward to that.
Yeah, we are.
No, we're not. All right. I wrote down, oh, my feeble brain, every confessional with Lindsay is complex. I mean, it was. They were all complex. Complexly dumb.
All
apparently.
Strategy talk. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Ryan won't talk with it. Who cares? All right. Lindsay gets voted out. Who cares anymore? Why do we even exist?
Is that the end of the podcast? I mean, Bye, guys.
We exist for large reasons. Not apparently, Lindsay winning is not one of them.
No, obviously.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. Remember, you have 3 approved songs this week. Don't go outside that playlist. I'll be very upset. Anyways, I got nothing else. Not for the whole podcast. I just mean for the breakdown. Do you have anything else for the breakdown? I'm over this.
Well,
stupid breakdown.
I was going to talk about Gio saying Jeff was the parent of the
tribe. Go for it. You can say whatever you want. You finish the breakdown. Okay. Let me know when we're on the next section.
Okay, we're on the next section. That's it.
Oh, are we? Okay, cool. TV ratings. Mary, your eyes burn a gloss over. Okay, long story short. So we are tracking episode by episode how seasons 41, 42, and 43 went. We're looking at this more from an idea of, did they improve? Did they get worse? Okay. Season 41, as of episode 3, just keeps tanking. Even though it has the best numbers of the 3 seasons I'm about to tell you, it came in with such hype, and I think every week people were like holding on more hope and just kept losing hope. If I recall, episode 3 of season 41 was the one where they literally hid the stupid clues at the fire. Like, that's where we were in 41 at this moment. So it had 5,790,000 views. Season 42, which is the worst of all the first 3 episodes of that season. Season 42 only improved every episode. This was their best of the first 3 episodes of that season. They were at 5.35 million. And same for season 43. Even though last week it got 5,150,000 views, like live viewers, it was the best of the three episodes all season. So season 41 and 42 just improving every week, probably good word of mouth, I'm sure. But 41 was just losing viewers. So on the up and up. What I don't like about that though is that the best views were on the episode that was regular hour.
Mm.
Not a good sign for those of us who want the 90 minutes.
Well,
which was a great 90 minutes. So
sure. I guess I would rather that the interest just keeps going up, though.
Oh, obviously. Obviously.
Even if that means shorter episodes.
Yeah, I would just rather have 90-minute episodes over The Real Love Boat. And I think everyone listening here would agree. I'm just preaching to the choir.
Yeah. But.
So, yeah, just want to throw that out there. If you're interested in looking at those yourselves, because obviously what I'm just telling you is my observations, link in the description. Every week I'll leave. You can just click on it and it takes you to TV ratings. You click it. Look at them yourselves. They update them on Thursday afternoon for the Wednesday shows. I say Wednesday Survivor, something I want to care about, but for the Wednesday shows, they update them on Thursday afternoon. So that's when you get numbers. So you'll know if you're listening to this on Thursday, when it comes out, just wait until the afternoon. All right, let's move on to the, well, we're skipping the winter analysis. So on to the next section of our podcast, people's questions.
No, we're talking about winter analysis. Just because you don't have a top winner anymore doesn't mean I don't.
It's a mad world.
Also, were we going to talk about next time on Survivor?
Mad world. That's part of the breakdown. Do you want to go back to that?
Oh, sorry. I missed it.
No, what's next Silent Survivor? Tell me.
I mean, I was just going to, I really just want to mention how it looks like Owen's found an advantage. And we're just glad that finally somebody on yellow was
found. And Cassie is next time on Survivor Immunity.
I mean, kind of. It wasn't that bad. It was really just Gio being mean to her, is what it looked like. And by being mean, I'm saying he told her she wasn't in his alliance, which is obvious. So.
Okay, let's get winner analysis over with because it doesn't really matter anymore because Lindsay's not winning. All right, who's your number three?
It switched from Sammy to Carla.
No, who cares? Like, why does this matter?
All right, we don't have to do it. No, why?
I just don't understand. Lindsay's not winning. Who cares? Like, everyone has already tuned out because they don't care. Correct, everyone? See, no one responded. Mm-hmm. No one responded. Everyone's still talking about the Rings of Power thing I brought up earlier. Okay, number three is Carla for you. So why is that? She moved into your list because I don't think she was even in the list.
She moved into my list because we consistently hear from her, and she seems to be just able to get the vote that she wants. And she's kind of the voice of Blue right now. We hear
she
from
is the
her,
narrator for that tribe.
We hear from her all the time. So I don't know. I just moved her up because Sammy doesn't seem to be doing that much right now.
To be fair, Yellow has not been a tribal in three episodes. So it's hard for Sammy to look like he's doing anything when nothing's happening.
Right.
Which is part of why we say when the merge happens, that's when you really get good reads because everyone has to do something every week. So right now, when you get, you know, you win immunity, you get free time basically from having to talk about strategy that seriously. So number three for you is Carla. Number three for me is Sammy because I have no reason. I just have no reason to drop him.
Mm-hmm.
He's still looking the best on the Yellow Tribe.
He's still in three.
He's still in three for me. What, you think he was going to move up?
I'm just curious.
You'll hear who my new number one is.
Opening in your number one.
Yeah, okay. Maybe number one's still Lindsay. Maybe I'm still holding out hope that there's a outcast twist, you know, that they did in Pearl Island. Maybe they'll just do that again. They're like, Wesley, this one's for you as they pour out a beer.
On the sand.
What was the third? Yeah. Well, yeah. We're drawing a line in the sand, but with beer. What was the third song I said was approved? Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
It's been a while since I've had a good winner pick. Okay. That wasn't even a good singing. That wasn't even proper English. All right. Who's your number two?
Ellie. Still Ellie.
Why?
I know. I just feel
like... you like losing? I mean, I say as my number one went. Yeah. So what do I know?
Yeah. Make fun of me. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm doing it anyways.
I just like Ellie. I think she does have potential. We hear from her a lot. She's smart. She's strategic.
Mm-hmm.
And she has fairly good relationships. I'm not saying that... that's a, you know, end all be all. I'm just saying I could see her winning.
I think my number two is going to be your number one.
Okay.
Jesse.
Sure.
Is that your number one?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about Jesse together because I don't think Ellie, get out of town with Ellie. I mean, if Ellie wins, I'd be surprised. She has some work to do to turn it around, which is not unheard of in a winner story. I just don't think the cards do not line up to show that Ellie's being, if she is a good winner, I'm sorry, if she wins, it's not showing that she's a good winner right now.
Okay.
If that's the case. But there have been bad winners. I mean, winners are good, but there have been less impressive, I guess, is the word winner. So, all right. Yeah. Jesse, why do you like Jesse? And I'll say why I like Jesse.
He is so consistent. We constantly hear from him. He's constantly like calm and level headed. He's seems to be making the right decisions in his voting.
He's the contrast to Cody, who's like,
yes, complete contrast to Cody.
Jesse's level-headed, whereas Cody's kind of like the wild card.
Yeah.
Which is fun, by the way. I do enjoy a good wild card.
Right. I just really like him. I really hope he wins.
What was his analogy this week? His analogy was like, Cody's doing the thing that Jesse used to do, but now Jesse's like living in the cul-de-sac and has to be friendly with his neighbors. And it's like, you know, fortunately for Jesse in real life, he's already made his character development.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately for Jesse in the show, there hasn't been much in the way of character development yet because he's pretty much the same person he was in episode one, you know. But to be fair, not much has happened yet. Real good character development happens over the course of a season. So we'll see if something changes there. But yeah, I see Jesse. I see Sammy making the merge. I see Jesse as, I think, I don't know if I've said it about him every week, but he's like definitely final five material.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't know if he makes final three. But he's final five material is what it feels like. Sammy feels like he's merge, like maybe late merge, but yeah. So my number one then, can you predict?
I have no idea.
Carla.
Oh yeah, duh.
She was I don't think she was in my list, but she was on the, as I said previously, she was on the bubble. If I, like, if I had a fourth, it was her. I move her up because it really is true. Like, all the confessionals this week from the Blue Tribe that had any sort of meaning were Lindsay, but look where that took us. And Carla. I mean, at this point, I pretty much pick the narrator of each tribe, which is fine by me because I don't have a strong feeling about anyone else. There's no silver bullet editing hints. And I think Carla, as you mentioned earlier, she's like heading the ship, but it's not in a way where people are like, gotta watch out for Carla, right, man. She's like running the show. But to be fair, we have not seen the aftermath of any Coco tribal council yet.
True.
So we don't know what people, but you know, we'll see. We will see. But Carla is my number one, but I do not feel super strong about any of these people. I feel strong about all of them making the merge, but I don't know. I feel strong about any of them winning like I did about Lindsay. So, oh, that gut punch. Fun. All right. You ready for people's questions?
I am.
Oh, hey. And a quick heads up before we get in the questions. Next week, I believe, I got to double check my schedule, but I'm pretty sure next week, Rebecca is back and we're going to do a full blown winner analysis podcast video. So look forward to that because we will get in depth about every single player left in the game. And that will come out on Friday next week. So I'll remind you during next week's Thursday podcast. But yeah. All right. First question. How do you feel about switching the fish advantage for fruit? Erica and Zion asked us this.
Well, I mean, we talked about it a little bit. It was strange.
Do you think it's a good trade or a bad trade? Let's start there.
I mean, I really feel like I would have gone for the fish and just hoped to get fire or figure out fire. You can make fire without flint. Like, I would have gone for the protein. They have coconut. They said they're sick of coconut. They have fruit.
Yeah.
I would have stuck with the protein. But, I mean, that's just me. They knew, if they knew, hey, we've been trying for days to get fire without a flint, we can't, it's just impossible, then I guess they made the decision that was better for them.
I'm for the trade. I don't see any issue with it. The fish, as I, they didn't know they were going to get flint. And why they don't want to eat sushi. I don't want to eat sushi. So I'd rather take fruit any day over raw fish. And if they had fire, I'd be like, that's a dumb trade. But they didn't. So, all right. Next question from JJ Mara. Do you feel post-merge that it'll be Vessi versus Coco with Baka being the swing tribe, the swing vote? Or will it be Baka and Coco working together?
Typically, the underdogs try to take out the larger tribe. So
but
I can
now Coco is the same as Baka.
Exactly. So I think it's just going to depend on who is the underdog. But as you said earlier, Wesley, there's now seems to be some bad blood between Coco and everyone else. So,
yeah,
you know, even if they are equal to or lesser than the yellow tribe, they might just get picked off just because they're all mad at each other and don't want to work together.
I think if we go into the merge and Coco doesn't lose another tribal, I mean, sorry, lose another immunity challenge, that it could be Coco versus the world, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. If you look at season 41, the Blue Tribe, though, the Blue Tribe never was ganged up on. The Blue Tribe tried to throw immunity and Nasir wouldn't let them do it on accident, but Blue Tribe ended up dominating. But here, though, the Blue Tribe took a hit, so it just depends. Does Vessi lose again and have to vote out Noelle, who I predict is the next boot on that tribe because that's who it looks like is on the bottom? Or will Baka go to try? I mean, Baka, for multiple episodes now, has been set up for a Gabler playing his idol. If Baka never goes, like, I guess Gabler could play it at the first merge vote, you know? You know, actually, that's a good point. I wonder if, because if they're doing, they've already announced they're doing Earn the Merge. Let's say Gabler's on the team that doesn't get immunity because the whole team gets immunity. Can he gets to play his idol at that. So that would, like, narrow down their choices to, like, four people. That would be pretty, that's a pretty big time to play your idol, to have your idol, would be at that merge. So on for Gabler's sake, he would hope that they don't go to tribal again until the merge, but we'll see. Because I wonder if everyone there, that's another thing we don't know. I wonder if everyone there thinks or knows that Earn the Merge is going to happen again. Hopefully they are all like, no, there's no hourglass, but hopefully they already.
Oh, they have to be thinking about it, I'm sure.
I would be wondering if they're just going to do Earn the Merge again. Oh, brother. Because remember, these people have seen all 41, and I think I don't know how much of 42 they've seen. I don't think they've finished it based on when the shooting happened, but I could be wrong. The filming could have happened after 42 ended. I think it happened during 42, but don't quote me. All right, next question is from R. Hill. Will Cody regret using a sales experience against Coco Tribe to get food and fishing gear? Will Cody regret it?
No.
Next question.
Should he?
No, just next question. Katie Kaminsky. I'm shocked. All caps on shocked. Lindsay was my winner pick too. And even when it started to look dicey, I really thought Gio was going. Thank you, Katie. Unlike my wife, I feel your empathy. My wife has no empathy for my winner pick. Katie and I, we're on the same page. I know you didn't hear it, but I pounded my chest a little bit. In remembrance of Lindsay. All right, I really thought you was going. Wesley, who's your new winner pick? Katie, I'll reference you to our winner analysis section of the podcast. All right, next question. Spencer, do you think they made the right decision tonight? No. Gio should have been voted out. I mean, okay, but like for real, if I wasn't thinking about it from the perspective of I don't know, like, okay, Lindsay was paranoid, but like, is that enough to vote her out now? I feel like Gio or Ryan is still the right choice. I feel like Gio because Ryan's a better challenge asset, but
right.
For that alliance.
I think what you do is you vote like you're going to do, you know, like you said you've done, and that should allay her paranoia. That should be like, okay, we're all here. We're in this together. We all voted together like we said we were going to. Mm-hmm. And if that point she's still like, oh, but you guys are talking about me.
Yeah, she's shanning it up at the next tribal council, still being paranoid.
Then you vote her out. But this was, I feel like this was just nerves at your first tribal council, and they kind of took advantage of it because they didn't want to deal with it, and not took advantage of it, but they just didn't want to deal with it. And this could have been a very loyal asset that they could have saved.
Yeah,
and just by simply sticking with their vote. And I don't know.
I think as an alliance, it was a mistake. For the tribe as a whole, I don't think it'll affect them in terms of challenges.
Yeah.
But in terms of the core alliance there, unless Ryan takes the place of Lindsay, you know, which is possible. It wouldn't be bad. Ryan hasn't been shown to be like inadequate or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I just think if you're thinking about the alliance, they should have stuck together, voted out Gio. It would have made for more boring TV. But if you're talking about for their game, I think that would have been a better decision. Lindsay being paranoid is not, there's either more to it, or if that's really it, then that's to me is like not a good enough reason to vote her out first tribal, but whatever. What else is new? How come I can never be right about winner picks? That's all I gotta say.
You can't say never.
Why do we even talk about winner picks? You know, what's the point? Darkness, my old friend. All right, last question. Will the final... All right, so I think this is the same person asked this last week, but they've corrected themselves. Kenneth asks, will the final 9 be all men? See, it's not final 10 because there's only 9 of them. Will the final 9 be all men? No. I gotta say no, because I think I would have to... And I mean, like statistically, as you said last week, unlikely, but I just feel like Carla at minimum breaks that top 9. Mm-hmm. Like we're really like being technical. I think Carla breaks the top 9.
I think Ellie breaks the top 9.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see how... If Baku goes tribal again, I think Gable is going after Ellie.
Sure. Okay.
So, Ellie's not like some like super safe person. Cassidy right now doesn't seem like she's really on the block. I'm trying to think people who could crack at the top 9 and like be almost unnoticed. Cassie's like under the radar. I mean, who else? I feel like... As Janine, I mean, there are people out there who I just don't think are like going to be priority come the merge to vote out. I think we're going to be voting other people.
Yeah.
Bigger personalities will be aimed, targeted at. But hopefully not. Hopefully all big personalities make it to the end. That's a good season to me.
Sure.
So will the final 9 be all men? I don't know for sure, but I'm going to guess no.
No.
All right.
I know for sure. No.
All right. Well, we thank you all for listening. We appreciate it. We look forward to next week when Lindsay comes back via the Outcast list. Okay, bye.
Bye.